From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
And we are the Forum for the Fans of Bleed Blue Show. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum midseason evaluation. We're going to talk about the Knicks. We're going to have the NBA at large as far as what our thoughts are. A little over halfway over between the season. The players, if you want to give an analysis, talk about the rest of the NBA. We don't have to keep it just Knicks. Talk NBA at large. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. And as far as the other shows, just go to our website. All the links is there for all the other shows, all the other content, what we said earlier this week with the Yankees and the Rangers, got the Giants tomorrow, and all the sports that we do on the Blues Day recap. We're not going to even waste any time. We're going to bring on an infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, our source of excuse for the New York Knicks. And you know what? I kind of want to take it this episode in a different direction because we're heavy Knicks, as it should be, on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. But I kind of want to loosen things up. We already know our team is in the funk, and nothing we're going to say today you haven't heard already the last month and a half. Let's kind of make it more light, make it more fun, make it more enjoyable. So whatever the guys is on their mind, even if they want to even go on a different direction on sports, that's fine with us here on the Bleed Blue Show. But Av, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, Steve? All good. All is good here.
How you doing, brother? I'm good, man. How you doing, man?
Hey, all things are good here, Diaz. A lot of great changes here personally for me. I just want to, you know, get this dialogue out, whatever the dialogue directs us, whether we stay Knicks, orange and blue, or we go all out to the NBA. Hey, let's talk about a little bit that All-Star game. What did you think of it real quick?
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because that's the point I wanted to add into what I was going to say in the intro. I forgot all about saying that. Won't you tell me what you saw? Because I saw a little bit of it. I didn't think I missed anything. Like, I haven't missed the last decade or whatever. I'm hearing all that hoopla from fans as well. Oh, man, this is one of the better All-Star games. I mean, when you give up a combined 293 points, it could have been that competitive, you know? So, Ab, what did you think about the game? And then Knicks rest of the season and NBA, then we'll get on other stakeholders.
Well, the All-Star game for me, I'm not going to go out and say that it was the best one of all time. It's the better one of the last few years, obviously. You're absolutely right when it comes to the competitiveness. I mean, it didn't really get competitive to, like, you know, little spurts and moments. But then again, that's the All-Star game. It's an over-publicized, you know, pickup game among the NBA players. And this time the format was different, which I found rather interesting. And I will say this, it wasn't the better All-Star games, but it was at least a breath of fresh air in terms of how fun it looked. It actually looked more fun than in the last few years, you know, where you had these blowout scores and you had, just this matador defense. At least you saw a little bit. You saw a little competitiveness between individual players. And, you know, you saw a fun game. And that's what I would actually say, that it was fun. I wouldn't say that it was a defensive clinic or an offensive clinic or, you know, how basketball is played, but it looked fun, and that's the best thing I can say about that. In terms of the Knicks, I mean, I got my grade book out, and I'm looking down the roster, and I'm trying to be fair as possible when it comes to the Knicks because, you know, we get accused of being all negative, and I'm trying to stay positive, but at the same time, you have to be realistic. So, if before we jump to the NBA and sports and all the sports, all the Bleed Blue sports, because I did miss the dugout, I really want to jump in on that.
Why not? Who's going to tell us we can't talk Yankees?
Well, you know what? I really like what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing thus far. I'm very excited about the upcoming season. I'm really interested to see how Aaron Boone, figures out the rotation and starting lineup. How is he going to be able to put Judge, Sanchez, and Stanton, and circle them around with Didi And I know we just signed a new third baseman. I forgot who it was. And but I mean, the pitching staff, you already know how it is. You and me are a lot alike. Pitching. I mean, you know, can that rotation hold up? You know, with CeCe being the grand old man, you know, you bring it back Tanaka. You're bringing back you know, Sonny Gray. You got Seve. I'm not 100% comfortable with Jordan Montgomery or anybody as the number five. I mean, I look at those guys as spot starters or long relief, but I mean, we're gonna have to do, make do, until somebody comes available, and come that down the July trade deadline and see where the Yankees are at that point. But I'm very excited. I feel 28 is on the way. If not this season, it's coming. I know it's heading our way. It's, you know, it's being polished as we speak, and being, you know, a certain section in Yankee Stadium is being set up just for that trophy, because we know it's coming. Just don't know when it is. I mean, I'm really hoping it's this season, but we'll never know. The Rangers, I'm a failure as a Ranger fan. I haven't been really watching, but then again, from what I hear from you and Ranger Proud, it's been wow. And then, you know, the Giants.
That.
No. I was going to say about the Rangers. It's bad, but it's not as bad as what the Knicks are. I mean, that's the best way I could say it. They have a chance. I'm talking about the Rangers. They have a chance to make some moves to set themselves up for the future, where the Knicks is, they got bad contracts all over the place. That's the Knicks issue. You already know that. I'm not telling you something you don't know when it comes to the Knicks. So.
Right.
But go ahead. Fire that, on the Giants. Then we'll bring on the stick.
Yeah, you're right. Because the Knicks are stuck with bad contracts, poor decision-making in terms of draft picks, not acquiring enough young assets and setting themselves up properly for the future. But, hey, we've already beat that dead horse in the mouth, you know, over and over again. So let's talk about the Giants. From what I'm hearing, and from the conversations that I've heard you guys have on the Bleed Blue Roundtable, you know, every Thursday night, is like I have a sense of optimism, but I'm still very like cautious and wary. Kind of, you know, I'm getting that Knickerbocker feeling a little bit with them. But it's a lot more optimistic than when you're talking about the Knicks, because at least the Giants, you know, they're a world-class organization. They have a history of still being able to rise above, you know, certain levels and then achieve that ultimate goal, as opposed to the Knicks. They just seem cursed. I don't know whether you call it the curse of the Patrick Ewing or the curse of Dolan. I don't know how you want to roll that one, but, hey, and then, you know, just sports in general, I think this baseball season would probably be, you know, among the most fun one. I mean, you have to go back to probably what, like how much fun the 96 or the 98 seasons, you know, when Sosa and McGuire were going head to head. I think that's going to be, you're going to have that kind of fun just as Stanton and Judge alone. And then you take a look around the entire Major League Baseball. It's going to be fun, man. This is going to be a fun baseball season coming up. And, you know, I just can't. I really can't wait till the first game starts.
All right, we're going to do a quick roll call. Let's get the stakeholders on, and then go right back to them, and then we'll get to your grades as far as midseason evaluation, and then anything these guys want to do. Let's have some fun tonight, man. That's a quick intro. Say hello to Chandler, Night Chandler 7. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Not much, man. How you doing? Let's say hello to Dominic. Dominic, how you doing? Denardo DP on Twitter. How you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing? And I think this is Dre. Dre, what's going on? How you doing? Say hello.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. What's going on? Little J to the Rack on Instagram. Let's start with Chandler. I mean, Chandler, man, we could just have some fun with this. I mean, we were talking in the topic, really, midseason evaluations on the Knicks, if you want to give a grade on any player you want. And then we could take it to an NBA level as far as what you like this season thus far in the whole league. And then, like Av said, man, if you want to go any direction with any other sport, shit, we could go that right now tonight on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We'll do the same thing for Dominic and Dredd, and then go back to Av.
I mean, grade-wise, overall, you have to give them a B. Seen some improvement in Hardaway. Seen, you know, incremental slight improvement in Frank. You know where I stand with the coach. She's like a Z. But because we haven't really gotten to see some guys and we've seen too much of other guys, until we see if they're going to play the young guys, I'm going to just hold reserve judgment on grading anybody outside of the coach. And y'all know how I feel about the coach. But as far as the NBA at large goes, you know, karma is a beautiful thing. You know, I'm not the biggest NFL supporter, but Mark Cuban has spent the past 3, 4, 5 years just killing the NFL. Oh, they're terrible. They don't know what they're doing. Mark, you might want to clean up your own house before you start throwing stones at other people's. Because based on everything that's being reported, maybe he should have just shut up about how terrible the NFL was for what he got going on there in Dallas. You know, and I like that because I can't stand Mark Cuban. But you guys are talking about the Yankees. Kid Drury that they got, and I think we talked about this the other day. Remember, I said to you, Steve, that I didn't think Andujar was going to get a fair shot to win the job at third base. And, yeah, he ain't going to get no shot to win that job at third base. Drury's going to be the starting third baseman. And that kid is really good. He's got a really good glove. He's got a lot of potential. If he puts it all together, this kid could be an all-star third baseman for the next 7, 8, 9 years. That's the type of talent the young man has. I watch a lot of, you know, I watch baseball, so I watch the Diamondbacks games. The kid has some talent, so it's a good pickup once again by Cashman, and he really didn't give up anybody to get him. You know, it doesn't impact their self-imposed salary cap. And I like the kid Drew. He's gonna progress faster than Didi did when Didi came over from Arizona. Because apparently the Diamondbacks are becoming our farm system. Because the left side of the infield is going to be
right.
Arizona. But it's a good pickup, man. The kid is going to be good. People are really, if you don't know anything about him, you're going to really like what this kid brings, like I said. And he can play multiple positions. So the worst case scenario is he becomes a better version of Ronald Torres. That's the worst case scenario. So it's a good pickup all the way around. And, you know, I'm a Jet fan, so the Jets are going to do something stupid like give Kirk Cousins, you know, a boatload of money and be terrible still. So there's that with my Jets. And the Rangers did something really great. They got rid of Nick Holden, and they turned him not only into an actual player with talent, which was very surprising to me. They got a third-round pick, and they got a player for Holden. And if you get that for Nick Holden, what are you going to get for Nash, for Grabner, for Zook if you trade him, for McDonough if you trade him? The range is about to come up big time if they move some of these guys because they just set the market on, you know what I'm saying, with what they're doing. Because, like I said, if you can get a third-round pick and a decent player for Holden, you're going to get some money for Nash. So other than that, man, as a Knicks fan, it is what it is. But All-Star game, I wasn't impressed with the dunk contest. It was blah to me. You know, it was blah. I'm sorry. It just was. And if you got to look at a dunk in slow motion to be impressed by the dunk, then I'm sorry, it's not a great dunk. You know, that's just the way I view it, man. You know, when you see the dunk, you automatically supposed to be like, yeah. And I didn't see that in the game itself. You know, if it took this for these guys to actually play hard, you know, now what you going to do in 3 years when this gets old? So, but like I said, as a Yankee fan, I'm happy. As a Ranger fan, I'm happy. With the Knicks, you know how it is.
All right, let's go to Dominic and then get to Drake. Don, what's your thoughts on the Knicks halfway through the season, more than halfway through the season, the NBA at large, and anywhere you want to go, any other sport, man, and we do the same for Dre, man.
The Knicks get an F in my book. When you have a losing record and your competitive balance edge is basically nilch, and we're in January, February talking about playing the youth again and talking about next year and 2028, that's an F. You got to give the fans more than this. But I want to ask you one thing, Steve, because it's been on my mind, because y'all guys, I got to get on the Yankee thing. Everybody talks about Stanton and Judge. Does anybody ever bring up Sanchez? Because he's probably the better pure hitter than most give him credit for. I mean, he may strike out a lot, but he's actually a good hitter. He's not going to hit, you know, 50 home runs and hit 222. He's a pretty good hitter. And the other
if
kid,
I may,
go ahead.
If I may, let me answer that question, because that was a question that was asked on our Yankees episode, and Chandler knows about that. We asked that question as far as is there something that's being underrated on the team that nobody's really talking about with all the headlines, and that was not brought up. So I'm glad you brought up the Sanchez, because that was not brought up on one of the stakeholders or any of the stakeholders' underrated points.
Because when you look at him, Steve, I think I brought it up in one of the Nick shows last year. When he hit the 162 game mark, he had 52 home runs and was batting about 288. I forgot the number of RBI. I think it was like 127 RBI in a full 162 games. So, but the funny thing about getting the third baseman, I just had his name on my tongue, like that Chandler just brought up, because I was reading about him before the Yankees were talking about getting Drury. This brings our average age of the infield down. You know, Didi's the oldest guy at 28, no matter who the Yankees put at second base. You know, the average age is going to go down. So what does that tell you? That though we're talking about all of these sluggers and pounders, we still got what the Knicks would call a real youth movement going on with the Knicks, I mean with the Yankees. This is incredible if you're a Yankee fan and you've seen how we did business in the past, you know, the evil empire, go out and buy up everybody. But you look at what they're doing. We all seen this. I mean, Sanchez, Judge, either Torres that plays, Bird, these are our guys. You know, this ain't something we went and got on a whim other than this third baseman, but he's 25 years old. So we got a lot of, it's a lot of room for improvement. Are we setting the bar a little high? I don't think so. But even if you look at last year, one game away from the World Series, this year, another step up, We got a team that's built for the long run, guys. This is going to be fun, not just this year, but a couple of years going down the road. The NBA, Mark Cuban got to go. I'm sorry. If Donald Sterling had to go because of his racial comments, are you putting racial epithets above how women are being treated in today's world with the Me Too movement? And you know what? I don't want to hear about what he might not have knew. You're in charge. This is where we go back to leadership and taking the bullet, falling on the sword. You're the guy in charge. This has been going on for a long time, guys, before him, during him, all the way up until the article in Sports Illustrated. This is a black eye on the NBA. And I love the way the trolls from ESPN, who kind of like Cuban, well, you know, we kind of like Cuban. We should No, you can't give him the benefit of the doubt, because then that's a double standard. Then they want to lead you down the road of, well, maybe this isn't happening just with the Mavericks. Well, ifs and ands are pots and pans. We don't know if it's happening on another franchise, but we know it's happening here. So he got to go, guys. That's just my take. Like Chandler said, he's got so much to say about the NFL. Let's be honest. He got so much to say about everything. He could run the country. He could run the NBA. He could run the referee union. But you can't run your own team. So, to me, he's got to go. Maybe that's a hard stance. But if you're going to do it to one person, regardless of the situation, he's got to go. He's got to be forced to sell his team just like Sterling. I'm sorry. You know, it's a black eye on the NBA. Let's not dwell into what other team might be doing it. That's down the road. We know who did it. We know who's doing it. And the culture was that of, how would they say, 18 years? 18 years this has been going on with the Dallas Mavericks. And you didn't know nothing? We can't hear that answer, fellas. I'm sorry. No. The NBA All-Star Game, I caught a little bit at the beginning and the end. But they got to do away with this weekend stuff, because that's just becoming, you know, it's hard to watch. The dunk contest that Chandler brought up, if you got to see a dunk in slow motion, now there are times you got to see it in slow motion, because these guys are dunking so fast and so, you know, aggressively. Yeah, you might want to give the viewer a better look at what this kid actually did. But I think, and I'm pretty sure we brought this up before, the the NBA Saturday and the celebrity thing, I think I understand what the NBA is doing, promotion, marketing. But, and then, of course, the introduction. I mean, I'm assuming somewhere in the next couple of years we're going to replace the Jerry West logo with Kevin Hart because he's like all things NBA All-Star Weekend now. So, I mean, you get to see the same thing over and over again. It might have been a little more competitive, but I think you said it, Steve. You know, you're scoring 400 points. How competitive is that? I mean, up until the end, but nah. Oh, and one more thing for you Giant fans. I'm like Chandler. I'm a Jets fan. But all I could do is beg the Giants to take my boy from Penn State, Barkley, because I don't want to see him go somewhere else. I don't want to see the Browns get a quarterback at one and then grab him at four. That's not fair to that kid. And to me, I'm probably not as big a football junkie as you guys, but I am a Penn State fan. I went to Penn State. This guy's the best player in the draft, fellas. I know how they look at running backs and the NBA with their hangups. You can't tell me this kid is not the best person coming out in this year's draft. I find that hard to believe, maybe because I watched every Penn State game. I just find it hard to believe that this kid is not the best player. He can block, he can run, he can catch. I don't know. And if you're gonna keep Eli, and I'm assuming I do watch some football, I'm pretty sure you Giant fans that brought it up, one of their heartaches was they didn't have a running game. And I think this guy could fit right in September, ready to rock and roll. So my only wish for you Giant fans is that you please, you know, take Barkley. So that's it for me for now, Steve.
All right. Before we go to Dre, Dom, I 600% agree with you on your assessment on Barkley. He is the best player in the draft. I did a full-out analysis in our group about our football team, what the Giants should do. Rounds 1-7, free agency. I had it all mapped out. So I would say I agree with your assessment. Let's go to Dre, and then we go back to Ag. Hey, Dre, go ahead and fire away.
But with the Knicks, like everybody mostly said it, F, the only thing I can probably have to say I can actually look forward to is to see what the kid we gave a 10-day contract to, nothing special, but it sort of gives me an indication, okay, at least you got an idea of what you're going to need for your team, because I looked at the dude. Got like one little D-League dunk contest. I know he was like athletic, 6'7". I see him. He got some like length on him. And I don't know if this is good. I ain't hear no one bring this up. But then look like we actually might see a buy from the Joakim Noah. But my thing is, if you wasn't going to give him any PT or if you was going to play any of your youngsters the actual time they deserve, then what's the point of even giving up the roster spot? So I don't know why I had some fans complain about that, but that's besides the point. The one thing I do want to bring about was a little bit of Knicks' future. Forgive me for saying this, but the KP injury, I think, is some type of a blessing in disguise. Now, let me explain. We're going to have at least a top-10 pick going into draft this year, and I believe they still got a 2019 pick. With KP and Dusty not coming in back till February, and we're going to have a rookie, there is no way they can get a top-3 pick within that 2019 draft, because that's how bad they're going to be. Just like how the 76ers did it, well, Embiid, and then Simmons came back, and then they were able to get another top pick with Fultz. I believe that can actually happen with the Knicks. And along with, since it's KP's contract year, and since nobody really wants to take that much of a risk on injury-prone players, I don't want to throw it out there, but the Pitt's history been noticeable, then maybe we might get a discount on, but I ain't going to really check off anything. But still hope to make it a speedy cover, but with everything else around the NBA, the All-Star game, I don't even know what to say. I just don't get your hopes up. Also, again, it was a little bit better. Like, at least it wasn't like any blow, like what everybody else said. Has anybody seen the national anthem that, what was the woman named? Fergie or something sang.
Mm-hmm.
That right there just probably killed the introductions. Like, no, like that was just a little bit too extra for me for my take the dunk contest. And it's just, that's like, don't actually bring no type flavor to it. I think Dennis Smith probably should have advanced at least some of the more difficult dunks he had. And when I saw, Victor Oladipo, and I think, I don't know whether it was a warm-up game or something, but I remember saying practice, Jimmy, yeah, he actually pulled off like a 360 dunk right when he came up to the backboard, tapped it off the backboard, and then put it back in the hoop. And I remember there were so many people heated saying, like, damn, why didn't you do that in the dunk contest? And I was thinking, well, damn, I was actually thinking the same thing. But around with the Mark Cuban grid, everybody, now, especially with the comment he's saying, the best option was to lose. Now, that's something, even though it's true, you need to keep to yourself, because you don't go ahead and say that knowing plus 3 million people hearing you, especially your own man's thing like that. That's something we don't got to hear. We can know it. Like, we know what's going to happen, but just don't just say, just flat out say it. Especially, I don't know how it would be if I was one of his players that just heard that crap just flat out. But outside of the NBA with the Giants, hopefully we get that guy from Penn State with everybody saying, I'm not really that big on actual football, especially college, but what I've seen from the draft stocks and his video, he's pretty nice. But we'll just have to see, because let's hope they don't, my Giants don't find a way to mess it up, and that's it.
All right, Dre, thank you very much. Before we go back to you, let's bring on Ray. Ray, we're talking Knicks midseason evaluations. Do you have any grades for the Knicks more than halfway through the season? Also, the NBA at large, what's your thoughts on the NBA? And just a little freestyling as far as other teams, other sports, if there's anything on your mind on those. And then we'll go back to Ad. Go ahead, Ray, what's going on? Back to the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum.
What's going on, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Listen, my. Do you really want to know what my mid grade is for the Knicks right now? I give them, I'm going to keep 100. I give them an F. And let me tell you why I give them an F. Right now, we should have a lot more wins than we have. And a lot of games, like you know, Steven, a lot of Knicks fans know, we blew them games. And part of it has to do with Hornacek. Hornacek's game plan in the second half of basketball games has been trash, garbage. His game plan, he got to go after this season. He got to go. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the hell he be thinking in the second half of games. I mean, it's not just his fault. The players, too, but it's mostly his fault because he's the coach, man. He should execute. How one game we're up by, like, 20, 30, and then the team in the second half comes back and they beat us. Like, that makes no sense to me. And it all has to do with Hornacek. Hornacek got to go, man. He's not the dude, man. He's not the dude. He got to go. And I feel that this team should have a lot more wins because of it, but we don't. And he's part of the problem. So, and the fact that we lost KP for the year, we probably not going to have him next year, most of next year. And there's a lot of factors that go on, like the substitution sometimes. How you going to put Jaren Jackson, 100-year-old ass, out there? You know you can't guard. He can't even guard himself out of paper bag, man. Like, come on, man. And it's like you got Burke, you got that kid we got from Denver, and we got all Frank Nitti. Like, come on, man. Like, I don't get it, man. His game plan is trash. He got to go. As far as other teams concerned, I'm really looking forward to the Yankees this year. I think the Yankees are gonna be great. I think I have a feeling we're gonna bring 28 home. The Giants, I just hope we make the right decision in the draft, and we make the right moves, and we build. I think we're a couple players away from. I think we can make the play. We can turn the thing around, make it the playoffs. So, but other than that, Steve, that's all I got for now. That's all I got to say.
Avenue, Ray, thank you very much. Avenue, anything else you'd like to add? Any points? Our team, the league, other leagues, and then I'll say my piece as far as my turn when it gets to that.
Well, to reiterate what Ray just said, I think he's preaching to the choir. My brother, you preach to the choir. We all kind of agree that Jeff Hornacek needs to go. We should be had a number of victories. We should be at least at 500 or just slightly above it, and in the discussion of possible playoff contention, even without KP, because there have been a number of games that Hornacek clearly lost the game, not just because of the players' lack of effort or attention to detail in terms of defense, but just his substitutions, his play calling, and the timing of his timeouts. It goes without saying. I think that Hornacek kind of just doesn't know how to change, you know, on the fly, doesn't know how to make adjustments, especially when it comes to the second half. So, yeah, it's time for him to go. Time to pull the plug, hashtag on Knickerbocker. In terms of what everyone else is saying, I'm pretty much in the greens with everybody else. Really can't add to it. So let's just let's go around the horn again.
Oh, let me tell you this about the All Star Weekend. To Dominic's point, he said do away with the weekend. I think it's more so about economics. It's more about the money those local towns or cities that they're going to get from tourism. Like if it was in Los Angeles, so I think next year's in Charlotte. And a lot of these, especially smaller cities, I would say smaller cities like Charlotte or New Orleans, it's a good way economically to make a lot of money. People patronize their restaurants and shows and all that other stuff. So that's why they exist. I've been to 4 NBA All-Stars weekends in my lifetime, but that was in my younger years, and they're pretty fun. I'm not really into the All-Star game in the NBA, NHL, or definitely not the football at all. At one point, I was into the Major League Baseball, to the interleague, kind of like really, it wore out that, okay, wow, I can't wait to see this AO batter versus this NO pitcher or vice versa. I used to love the MLB All-Star game when it was like that, when you didn't really see other leagues go against each other like that. Now, as far as the Knicks, like midseason evaluation, the coach is definitely like a solid D, maybe a solid D minus D, especially when it comes to second half adjustments, like Ray said. I want to get to every player because we'll be here all night. But the point guard position is a flat out D for the most part. When it comes to Enes Kanter, it's kind of like you got to give him 2 grades. Offensively, I'll give him like a B, B plus. Because I think he's done his job with the double-doubles, getting good, easy points. We haven't got a lot of easy points like this in a long, long time as a Knicks team. But defensively, he's a liability out there. As big as he is, he doesn't play no defense. So defensively, he's like an F. Yeah, he brings nothing to the table, actually. The wing players average, the time McDermott was there, Lance Thomas, I would say definitely below average. D. So I'm going to have to summarize it like this. The Knicks at this point they're not an F, but they're definitely not a C. They're like in a D range across the board, coaching, players, execution, mentality-wise. I mean, I think that's a safe grade for them. And I think it reflects it because they're not necessarily the worst team in the league. But they front ran a lot of earlier in the year when they were healthy, and I think this season up until this point got bad once Hardaway Jr. had that first injury. Then they started to lose some games when Beasley came in. They weren't really winning. They had a couple of nice wins, like the Boston game at home was one in particular. But it seemed like when the Knicks were playing well and they were like a couple of games over 500 and they were about to do some nice things. It seemed like once the Hardaway injury happened and he didn't come back for a while, I thought it was something he would have shook off like in a week, maybe 2 max. He was gone for all that long time. It really put the season at a roll. And not to say that if he was there, would the Knicks have been a lot better. I would say it may be, man, because I think the way they were playing, they were gelling. There was a little bit of chemistry, and then they lost their focus and lost trust in each other. Now, as far as the NBA as a whole, I'm actually enjoying this season. I think there's some fun games this year. I'll say it's a strong B+ as far as quality of games. The Eastern Conference, the Western Conference. I like watching, you know, Milwaukee sometimes. When I'm not watching the Knicks and I'm not watching the Rangers, I'm watching other teams in the league or around the league. I like what I see out of certain teams like Milwaukee, their roster, to what they're putting together. And I like the hard work Chicago puts on. You know, Chicago actually has done some nice things as well at the starting off slow. Catch a little bit of Minnesota, catch a little bit of Dallas. I watch everything, man. I watch a lot of these teams, and whether it could be Phoenix, Sacramento, it could be Golden State versus whoever, and I think that's sometimes it's fun watching Golden State when they're down 25, see how quick they come back. I kind of watch it for that effect. A couple OKC games here and there. But overall, man, with the sports, with the NBA, I think it's in a good place, man, for the first time in a long time. It'd be really, really in a great place if the Knicks were relevant. That would really make the league really buzz. Let's go to Chandler. Chandler, anything with the NBA or any sport, really? I know you touched up on the Yankees if you wanted. You can go anywhere you want with this dialogue, man. Then we can go back. Matter of fact, you can ask anybody on here a question if you choose to, and we can go back to Chandler as well, man.
Well, I mean, I'm happy St. John's is finally winning games. I'm glad they didn't fire Chris Mullin. The kid Shamari Pons, I think, is going to be a good NBA player that nobody's heard of. I think he's going to come in. I think he's going to kind of be like Mo Harkless, a guy that people didn't think was going to be good, and I think he's going to be good in the NBA. The kid is just—he's just a baller. But and I agree with Don that Cuban does have to go. It's just too much crap. And you know, when they were talking about the whole tanking thing, if I'm a season ticket holder of the Mavericks, I want my money back. Because the owner just came out and said that they're going to go out and try to lose. And I just paid all that money for season tickets? No, no, no. You got to give me my money back. You got to give me my damn money back. Like somebody said, we all know that is happening. But now that you said it, yeah, you got to give me my money back. Because, you know. But outside of that, I mean, I think you guys should get Barkley. The kid, he's a really good young man, along with everything else Dom said. He's also just a good young man. And that's somebody I think the Giants organization – would like to have in there at this point with some of the personalities, we'll call it, that they have. But here's my thoughts on the Jets, and you guys can give me feedback if you want. If I'm the Jets GM, I trade back to, like, number 10. I pick up an extra second-round pick. I grab a stud offensive lineman or defensive lineman in the first round, around 10. Second round, my first pick, I take Mason Rudolph. Or Lamar Jackson, because that's the two quarterbacks I think are going to be the best out of this draft. I take Rudolph or Jackson. I take Rashad Penny with my next draft pick. And then my next draft pick after that, I take a wide receiver. That's what I would do. I'm not signing Kirk Cousins. I'm not signing Kirk Cousins. I'm not signing A.J. McCarron. And I'm not bringing back Josh McCown. That's me. That's what I do.
I would go to Dominic, your fellow Jets compadre and Yankees and Knicks fam. Chandler has asked a question and made some points. Don, you want to answer that? And then anything you'd like to add? Then we go back to Dre and then Ray.
The thing about the Jets, and I hate to say it, they've had the revolving door at quarterback for far too long now. They're trying to build with that good wide receiver they got. They're still a good defensive team. I don't think it would hurt that bad since they threw my other alumni, Hackenberg, under the bus for whatever reason. Maybe he just didn't pan out to be an NFL player. But I don't think it would be a far stretch. Again, I don't get into the draft and all that. Depending on what the Jets' needs are going down the road in the draft, I don't think it would be a bad idea to take McCown for a couple, maybe 2 years and see what you got with him and build around there, because they need so many pieces on offense that it's almost scary. I mean, you think about it. I guess me and Chandler might be the only Jets fans. Chandler, I can't remember how many quarterbacks we've been through in the last 4 years. Probably as many coaches as the Knicks. So that's always been the thorn in the Jets' side since, O'Brien, probably. And I'm really reaching now. other than the little, you know, little Hail Marys Sanchez gave us when he just didn't lose games. But they have so many pieces to fill in. It's sad. The thing about Barkley, again, because I watch all the Penn State games, not only like Chandler says, he's a good person, but, you know, Penn State took their hits. And I'm not defending Penn State because I went there. They took their hits. They sucked it up. But he also comes from one of the finest educational facilities in this country. I'm not saying that because I'm a Penn State guy. I'm saying it because it's a fact. I mean, guys from Penn State that don't make it in the pros, they go on to be, you know, pretty productive individuals. And I'm not knocking any other college. I'm just saying Penn State because of Barkley. So the Giants would be getting a lot with this kid. And just, I'm not going to say he'd be the face of the franchise because we all know how the NFL is, the quarterback. But I don't think the Giants could pass him up. And getting back to Mark Cuban, when y'all were saying the tank and to go to my boy Dre with the get a pick this year and then we'll be garbage next year until KP comes back, the lottery changes next year. So for the guys like Cuban who always got something to say and been caught with his finger in the cookie jar a few times, like today with the fine, with tanking, that's going out the window next year, guys. It's going to be a lot. In other words, I know you guys all know you can tank or be the worst team in the league, and your chances of getting the number one pick, I think, dwindle to like 20%, and then it goes around and around and around. So I talked about this before. I like what the NBA is doing with that. They're taking that out the equation. There's fans that are paying big bucks. Like somebody said earlier with Cuban saying he's going to tank, I think it was Chandler, and give me my money back. So if you know your team is tanking from game 12 to 82, yeah, I want my money back too. That's not what we as fans buy into. And I don't want to hear this about it work, because I can only think of maybe two or three teams in the last 20 years, 20 to 30 years, that this has come to fruition. So there's really no solid evidence that this tanking stuff works. It took the Sixers a combination of 5 years to get two of their draft picks on the court at the same time. Now, we don't know what's going to the future brings for Philly. But as of right now, it hasn't worked. Hasn't worked for Phoenix. Didn't work for Cleveland when LeBron left. It didn't work for many other teams that just flat out sucked. Dallas, a lot of teams. There's no concrete evidence that this works, that this is going to make you a better franchise going forward. And on the Hornacek thing, I hear what everybody say. I guess we just get rid of them to get rid of them anyway, because this is what we do. But it's hard for me to listen sometimes. And like the last guy, the guy that's last on the line, and you've said it a million times, Steve, we get these leads and then we blow them. But then we just want to go back to the coach's execution, the coach's this. But he was the same coach that got that lead in the first half. Sometimes it is what it is, guys. The players, we already know KP, the plus 32 minutes, how he fades. It could just be the players. Whether they run out of energy, run out of intelligence, I don't know what it is. But when you've blown that many leads, you just can't single-handedly say it's the coach. When you got 6, 7, 8 guys rotating in and out, and a combination of that, y'all are blowing 20-point leads. Y'all are blowing 20-point leads. You can sit here and say, oh, he should have called the timeout then. He should have put Beasley in. I agree with the man that said about Jack. Hey, you got to give Jack. You got to take your hat off to Jack. He gave us all he could give us, and he gave us some pretty good moments. He gave us we had a winning record with Jack playing point guard until the wheels came off, or until the month of January came. As always, last 5 years, January comes, Knicks go south. So when we say it's just the coach, well, I'll go with that because this is our MO. 5 coaches, 6 years, 4 coaches, 5 years. This is our MO. The players have changed. The coaches have changed. The mentality hasn't. So we can get rid of them and see what we get, put it in a box, shake it up. And as far as the NBA, we've had this conversation, and I heard some squabbling about it this week about the best 16 teams. I don't understand the taking the best 8 and the best 8 from the East and West and then going in order from there. No, let's just knock it off. Take the best 16 teams. We don't have to worry about logistics. We don't have to worry about rest because the NBA so far so good. Going to your point, Steve, they're moving forward very productively. They check the box on giving players more rest. They check the box on there's no going to be no more full-out tanking. So now check the box with the best 16 teams making the playoff. You know, somebody would say it's not fair because the Knicks only play the Lakers twice. Well, you know what? There's some genius that works in Manhattan that could figure that out. Okay, instead of the Knicks playing the Lakers twice or the West Coast teams twice, they'll play them three times, maybe play the teams in their division three times, spare a couple of the so-called rivalries, make them keep them with the four games. But there's a way to do this, guys. There's no more logistical factor. Half of these teams, most of these teams, probably all of these teams, got private jets. They're not flying commercial. So that takes out the logistics part there. And again, we've given them enough rest. And we've seen what happened last year with all the rest in between the playoff games and then into the championship. So rest shouldn't be an issue. So if you're going to be progressive, yeah, and guess what? Taking the best 16 teams, that embellishes the competition. Now you just can't be in the East saying,
may I ask you a question about that?
I can go.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm actually all for that because I like to see the league go into that direction. But here's my only question. I think this is a very fair point because it does go back to logistics. So let me ask you this. Let's say you put the top 16, regardless of conference, right? Golden State is your number one team. Let's say the Knicks were the 16th seed, right? Would it be fair to Golden State that they would have to go back and forth between New York and Oakland versus, let's say, 8 and 9 happen to be like Charlotte and, let's say, the Wizards? Like, is there a way to fix that? Because I think there's somewhat of an issue with travel. If you were the top seed, and it's not your fault that the 16th seed happens to be 3,000 miles, how do you fix that, or do you care about that? That's my only gripe.
No, it's right. It's not caring, Steve. When you look at the structure, the first two games are going to be in Golden State. So then you're going to have two games off. The third day you're playing in New York. Those next two games are going to be in New York. Then you have your travel time going back and forth. And in all actuality, Steve, that's if we're going to be stuck on that, the likelihood of that happening, say, 2 to 3 series per playoff season is not going to be that great. Because after the first round, this is going to get dwindled down. Now you're down to 8 teams. So what's the logistics going to be then? I just think there's a way to do it, Steve. And again, the NBA is checking these boxes because they've been given all these rest days because they got sick of players taking rest days off. So the NBA addressed that. The NBA has basically addressed every issue that we as fans complained about. Now, their parity, that's something else we could talk about another day because there's still no real parity in the league. We could sit here and say it's been a great NBA season. We say it all year. We say it every year. And then come June, we're watching the Warriors play the damn Golden State Warriors. I mean, the Warriors playing the Cavs. And the NBA tells us it's the greatest thing we've seen since, you know, the Yankees winning 120 games. It's not. It's, the parity is one thing. But the logistics on doing the 1-16, Steve, can be worked out. I mean, we got regular guys like me, you, Chandler, Dre on the phone that we could come up with semi-good ideas. I'm pretty sure some brain that works in the NBA could figure this out. You may have to start the season a little sooner, or you may have to extend it to the end of June. However you do it, you're not extending games. You're still playing 82 games. So everybody's playing 82 games. And the cream is going to rise to the top, no matter if that's the real cream. You know, wouldn't it be – I'll leave it at this, Steve. Wouldn't it be nice for one time in NBA history over the last so many years that we see the two best teams with the two best records, irregardless of what conference they come from, actually play the championship? Because for the last couple of years, the teams that played the Western Conference championship was actually the better championship than the actual championship. So as a fan, you know, even though I know the Knicks ain't going to be one of them, I still would like to see that. The two best teams playing for all the marbles.
All right, thank you very much, Dominic. Let's go to Dre and then go back to Ray.
and then Av. Dre, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, the only thing I might have to add to the seeding is, would it actually really make a difference at this point? Like, don't get me wrong. In terms of actual, like, maybe one or two teams, let's say from the past 2 years, oh, yeah, there were some teams I probably said, oh, yeah, they definitely should have been in there, but where how the conference was, yeah. But in terms of the structure, the same teams, like at least the top 3-4 would have usually won that series. So we're going to still have them same teams. And sometimes having the best record really – it's not like the indication, okay, now in terms of who was more consistent, of course. But does that make you the better team? Like, well, I'm going to have to just say no. Because, okay, basically on the conference, you're going to go ahead and face, let's say we were Toronto and you're going to face the Knicks. Let's say they face them 3 times and Brooklyn 4 times. Well, you're facing weaker opponents. So the only thing I can still give the West is there's tougher competition within their conference and division. But in terms of actual record, when you actually look at it as of right now, the best 16 teams are basically eight from the West and 8 from the East, and I just checked it. So as of right now, in terms of the teams just leveling out, finally, at this point, they're actually reaching it. Like, teams actually said, okay, I'm actually, like, bottom of the team. They actually got picked up the slack, gotten better over the years, and they're actually at this point right now. I think it's sort of a mistake, wouldn't really change much. Now, going back with the Knicks, busting the skies with the draft picks, I didn't actually try to indicate, oh, like just purposely lose. No. But what I'm just saying is, were we going to lose? Yes. But we're going to have to gain something from it. Like I'm saying, I want them to actually go ahead and scout the players, whether it's from Euro or the G League or et cetera. Just to say, like, what I mean by actually that, on a season where it's going a lot, I want them to actually show some damn dignity, actually put their big boy pants on, and actually say, okay, we're going to go ahead and we'd like team need this. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get this player that we think can get it. Like, it can't hurt to try. Now, in terms of me just asking, oh, just lose and get the top pick? No. Because there was a lot of top picks that just straight didn't pan out. Like, okay, I'm going to go to what the Knicks situation right now with Emmanuel Mudiay. See, are you familiar where Jared Jeffries said, oh, when he was giving Emmanuel Mudiay some of his praise, right?
No, sir. What did he say?
He has a chance to be a premier defender along with actually distribute around the league. And then my question was that is, then why'd you give him up for just a player that all you got was Devin Harris? And looking at the numbers so far, he don't got a reliable jump shot. His defense is just average at best. And frankly, people saying, oh, him be able to play nice against along with Frank Ntilikina, how? Frank is the only one with actual decent jump shot. We brought him at the point trying to be the point guard. Now, in terms of how people want to take, oh, he brought after while Phil was still there. Regardless, he still got some major talent. I've always been praising him on this challenge, but still give him his fair share of doubt. Now, in terms of what I don't like, you're going to go ahead and give an unproven prospect along the chance with our other point guard to take away his duties from dribbling the ball. And you're going to tell me you're going to either have Hardaway at the small forward position going against longer defenders or even on the bench and basically lowering his input on the court after we paid him that much money? Like, no. The only reason I probably see they got me Emmanuel Mudiay is to let him go ahead and put up some couple stats in the season and see if they can get a trade from maybe on the offseason. I can probably say he won't be back next season on the Knicks. I'm just saying what I think. That's it.
All right, Dre, thank you very much. Let's go back to Ray and then back to Av. Ray, anything else you'd like to add? Knicks, NBA, any other sport, Yankees, or anywhere you want to go, and then we'll go back to Av. Do you have any questions for any of these stakeholders as well? If you do.
No. This is how I feel. That whole – I'm glad the NBA is changing the draft rules come next year, because that whole thing is just ridiculous, because just like everybody else said, people do pay good money for their tickets, and for a team to just come out and say, oh, well, we're tanking this year. Now, that's not fair for the ticket holders, for the, you know what I'm saying? It's just not fair. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad they're changing that rule. And as far as the finals go, like, have the best eight against the best eight, no matter what conference, I would love the NBA to do that. I think it will make it more interesting, whether you're from the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. Just throw all 16 teams out there and just let them play against each other. And, Steve, I understand your point about the resting, but the NBA can figure it out where if they got to give the team, like, let's say, like Golden State, as an example, got to fly over to the East Coast, give them an extra day off to rest. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the things they can add to that. You know what I'm saying? But I would love
fair.
That. I mean, that will make the NBA even more interesting. That's all I got for now.
That's a good point. Extra day of rest. That might be the solution. Av, anything else you like to add? Do you have any thoughts on that 1-16 dialogue? Anything, any question you like to ask any stakeholder, any other point you'd like to make? Then we get to me, and then we'll go back around for final thoughts.
Well, in terms of the proposed 1-16, best 16 teams, regardless of conference idea, I'm not 100% sold on it because of the logistics, the travel that's involved, and just the kind of matchups that you will encounter. Just like you said, Steve, you know, for instance, if let's say the Golden State Warriors, who are the number one seed currently, they'll be playing somebody like, what, the Sixers in a best case scenario, the Knicks. And how would that work? How would that form? Would they go to a 2-3-2 format instead of a 2-2-1-1-1? In terms of the travel days, I just don't see how that would work. And then, you know, it might be against what the NBA already believes. You know, they want to see their two marquee teams go at it. Not necessarily the two best teams, the two marquee teams, because it's all about marketing and making business plans. That's really what the NBA is. It's the business. More than it is a league of players trying to, you know, compete for a championship. It's now a business, because at this point, I mean, you know, he got a ring. You know, the times back when, you know, when you, me, Chandler, and Dom were growing up and we were seeing these guys, you know, playing for championships, they were really fighting for them as opposed to for that glory, that prestige, as opposed to just their own individual legacies and their brand. So I don't know if the best 16 teams would actually work in solving the problem. I think that the new draft proposal, where the tanking won't be beneficial, it'll help. I'm more versed to the round robin idea, where it'll just be that this year the Knicks will get it, next year they'll probably have the last pick, and that's kind of how I would rather have it. I mean, it'll prevent tanking, because there's no point in tanking it, but now you have more leeway and better deals can be made, because not everybody necessarily wants the number one pick. They just want to get something for the number one pick, something in place of it, something that will benefit the organization, you know, in years going ahead. In terms of the Mark Cuban thing that was being spoken about earlier, I'm in agreement with Chandler and Dom on this one. If I'm a Dallas Mavericks season ticket holder, I'm demanding my money back. I'm not even going to try to put the tickets in the StubHub, or hell, you couldn't give the tickets away at this point. you're better off just donating it to a freaking, you know, to one of the local charities and hopefully you can get a tax write-off. I don't know if you can. You have to check the Texas rule book on that one. But, I mean, I really would like to go, you know, individually, you know, look at the Knicks players and give them their own individual grades. Because I kind of had that kind of, you know, prepared. But, hey, I'm loving the dialogue regardless because at least we're all getting our voices heard. And you see stakeholders or the fake fans who are on Twitter just say that we talk negative. We're talking positive about everything. It's going across the board. We're not just stuck on the Knicks. We're talking about all of it. So, you know, just keep on plugging
away. Do you want to go to the dark side and give them the grades or what?
Let's get them grades, Doug. Let's go one by one. How about we do it like
I'll let you fire away. Go ahead and just line them all up. I said mine earlier. I gave it as a whole. I didn't want to give it all, you know, individually. I don't want to waste that kind of time. We could do that at the end of the season. But if you want to go the way you want to do it, go ahead and fire away. Then we'll get to my point, and then we'll go around for final thoughts.
How about this? I'm gonna name a player on the Knicks roster. Everyone go one by one, just simple, you know, simple grade, and we'll just keep on moving along. How about we do that? Is that good, Steve?
Real quick, we'll do it real quick. Go ahead. Name the player.
All right. We'll start with the unicorn, Kristaps Porzingis.
All right, Chandler, grade for KP6.
C.
Dominic.
B minus.
Dre.
B plus.
Ray. Rayson.
C minus.
I'll say B minus, C plus. B minus. I'll go B minus.
I'll give him a straight B. I wasn't going to go B minus. Next player, Tim Hardaway Jr.
All right, Chandler.
B.
All right, Dominic.
C.
Dre.
C.
Ray.
B minus.
I'll give Hardaway Jr. a C plus for me. And what about you, Ab?
I'll give him a C plus as well. Next guy up, Enes Kanter.
All right. Chandler.
B.
Dominic.
B plus.
B plus. All right. Dre.
B plus as well.
Rayson.
B.
B plus for me.
I'll give him a B plus as well. I give him a B plus as well. Right. Next one up, Courtney Lee.
All right, Courtney Lee, Chandler.
D.
This would be interesting. Go ahead, Chandler.
D, man.
Oh, man. Dominic.
I give him an M for making a mistake coming to the damn Knicks. I give him a B. I give him a B minus.
All right, Dre.
I'll have to say A minus.
A minus. Ray, Rayson.
B minus.
I'm with Rayson on that, B minus.
Yeah, I'll go B minus on him. Next right. guy up, Jared Jack.
Okay, Chandler.
I'm going to give him an A, man.
All right, Dominic.
I give him an A.
Dre.
B minus.
Rayson.
C minus.
C for me. And then
I'm gonna give Jared Jack a B.
Okay.
Next guy up. Let's go with Kylo Quinn.
Okay. Chandler.
C.
Mm-hmm. Dominant.
B minus.
Mm-hmm. Dre.
Solid A.
Grayson.
C.
B minus for me.
I'm going to go with B minus as well for Kylo Quinn.
Okay.
Lance Thomas.
Okay, Chandler.
C.
Dominic.
C.
Dre.
C for me, too.
Racing.
D.
D plus for me. D as in dog, D plus.
I'll give him B plus as well. Let's go with the rook, Frank Ntilikina.
Frank Ntilikina, Chandler.
C.
C, Dominic.
C minus.
Dre.
B.
Grayson.
B minus.
C minus for me for Frank Ntilikina.
I'm going to go B for Frank. I give him an A for effort, but it's just B overall for being a rookie year. Let's do Damian Dotson.
Damian Dotson? All right, go ahead. Chandler. incomplete.
incomplete. Exactly. He never got to play. Incomplete.
All right, Chandler. All right, Chandler.
That's exactly what I'm giving him, incomplete.
Gotcha. Dominic.
I'm with Chandler. Either that or a DP. Didn't play. I mean, what are we judging him on?
Yeah, right. Dre, and then Racing.
I'm going to have to say incomplete. But if I had to, I had to give him a C+.
Racing.
Incomplete.
Yeah, I didn't see much of him, man. He played too much garbage time for me. Incomplete, man.
I'm going to give Damian Dotson a D, as in DNP coach's decision. damn it. Let's go with the newest Nick, Emmanuel Mudiay.
All right, Chandler.
I got to say C.
Dominant.
C plus.
All right, Dre.
Incomplete.
Racing.
C minus.
Wow.
That's a C or C minus. I'm somewhere in between this. So I'm gonna C minus.
I'll give him a straight C, and then finally Trey Burke.
Trey, oh, that should be an interesting one. Oh, Chandler.
Over.
I'm going to give him a B.
Mm-hmm. Dominic.
B minus. We're forgetting one Nick, the most important one so far, but go ahead.
We'll get to that. Dre, then Racing, into me. All right, go ahead, Dre.
I'm going to have to give him a B plus.
Mm-hmm. Racing.
B.
B plus.
I'm gonna give him an A minus. It's my first day.
Okay.
And we're down to two more. Ron Baker.
Ron Baker. Matt, let's do the next. Let's just do both at the same time. Ron Baker and who else?
And Michael Beasley.
Michael Beasley. Okay. Chandler, for Ron Baker and Michael Beasley, two grades for each of them, and then Dominic.
Baker's an F. I'd like to give him a T for trash, but I'll give him an F. And Beasley, I'll give a B. Mm-hmm.
All right, Dominic.
Baker an F, Beasley an A+.
Wow.
All right, Dre.
Baker a C and Beasley A plus.
Racing.
Baker gets a D for defense.
That's about it. That's all he can do. And Beasley, man, Beasley's an A-.
Ron Baker, for me, is if he plays decent defense, but it's not good enough. So he's about a D-. And then Beasley, for his role, wow, for his role, B-plus maybe? I'll go B-plus.
For me, Ron Baker, because of his contract and now his injury and all the and all his favoritism, he gets a straight F.
There you go.
Michael Beasley, he'd be an A plus to me until he started to go into a slump. So I'll give him a solid A to A minus.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, Av, on the midseason evaluations from the stakeholders. Chandler, let's get some final thoughts. Then Dominic, Dre, Rayson, and then Av. Go ahead, Chandler, final thoughts.
I'm not on board with the whole changing thing simply because I'm old. I don't like change, and I'm tired of hearing about how these guys need rest when they have private jets, private masseuses, private dietitians, and everything else, and yet they seem to need more rest than when guys are traveling in buses. So the NBA needs to just leave it the hell alone because I'm old and I don't like change.
Night Chandler 7 on Twitter. Thank you very much. Dominic Donato DP, your final thought.
Boy, Chandler's a trip. I'm just as old as him, but I like change. And I think if it's going to change for the better, and I think somebody brought it up, go strict 2-3-2. And the logistics will work out. As far as the NBA and the Knicks, I like the last guy, Drayson, because the grades he gave basically went to the grade I gave the Knicks overall as an F. So I don't know how I came up with all those letters. But it is what it is, guys. But again, it's been a great show. Appreciate the help and inviting me on to this great thing. And bleed blue.
Bleed blue, Donato DP, man. Look forward to having you and Chandler and Av and everybody else. Rayson will tell you. Actually, Chandler was on there, too, for the Yankees. So feel free to jump on with the Yankees on Monday nights as well. We got spring training this weekend, too. Looking forward to that. Thank you very much, guys. The Yankees, we could all agree on. Dre, Lil Dre, to the rack on Instagram. Your final thoughts, and then Rayson.
Put a change in the seating. I really don't mind it, but in terms of me thinking it's going to make a – whole impact in the end, it would be similar outcome for the two teams we've probably seen for the past couple of years if they did it as of right now. My grades on the Knicks was based on their contract, what we expected from them, and if they exceeded it. And around the NBA, just some great action.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Appreciate that. Lil Dre to the rack. Rayson, your final thoughts? Anywhere you want to go with this, Knicks, NBA, any sport, final thoughts, and then Av, of course.
Knicks, we got 23 games left. We'll probably win 9 out of them 23, and I'm just being nice. As far as, man, me personally, man, I'm tired of losing, man. We need to get rid of Hornacek, man. He's on McAdoo 2.0. He got to go, man. That's all I got.
Ray mentioned that Hornacek and McAdoo should be our first and third base coaches for the Yankees, by the way.
Nah, hell no. Steve. We'll lose a lot of games, Steve. Nah, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Ray. Av, man, your final thoughts, man. And anyway, and tell everybody on social media how you can be found. Take your time, and then we'll wrap up, man.
At Knickerbocker, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Steve, you can shoot yourself for that one. Hornacek and McAdoo as the corner coaches for the Yankees. It's like you don't love us anymore, bro. What happened with that?
Man, I don't know with that lineup. They could still squeeze 85 wins with that lineup, even if they were on the corners.
You know what? The sad thing is that you're probably right. They'll probably win 85 games and still score over 1,000 runs. Who the hell knows? But, hey, this was fun. This was a ton of fun. This is why we're the forum of the fans. And, you know, you only get real stakeholders here. And so, as always, follow the show on BleedBlueShow.com. As for me personally, I'm going to take a slight hiatus off the social media tip because, surprise, surprise, I'm about to close on a brand new house. I'm moving finally. So I'm happy as hell right now. So I'm not going to worry myself with Nick stuff and put myself in a bad mood. I'm going to keep myself in a good mood. So until then, I'll be back here next week. As always, bleed blue all day, every day.
Congratulations on a new casa, man. Congratulations on a new casa, man.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. My final thoughts, man. I'm going to still enjoy these games, win, lose, or draw. I mean, with the Knicks, I'm really immune to the pain, so I just get the assessment from loyal Knicks fans and get their dialogue, their expertise, man. And NBA as well, man. And just sports. I'm just enjoying sports, man. That's pretty much what it's going to be. But for all you guys on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, I love this platform. I love all the shows that we do, of course. But, man, I can't wait to, you know, week in and week out, we got all the sports, you know, the individual sports, the team sports. And that's pretty much what it's all about, man. So, yo, sangre yasu. I love talking to these great stakeholders and all those who listen to our insight and they hit us up on our inbox, whether it's good or bad, positive, negative. The feedback is all good. That they like to hear from Chandler, Dominic, and Tamika when she's on, Asim, Rayson, and Av, of course, and all the people, man, talking Knicks basketball. Because you got to be really strong will to really come in here and really talk Knicks the way our season's been going, man. And I don't think no platform does it like the way we all of us come together and really speak our minds and speak honestly, because you're not really going to hear it nowhere else, man. But other than that, man, be back next Wednesday. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue. And I got to probably have to get Chandler and Dominic maybe next time, get some more Jets, because we don't have Jets stuff on here. And I think they're the most qualified guys to talk Jets with, if I wanted to ask them, because I really don't know nothing about the Jets like that, to be honest with you. But anyway, that's a story for another day. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.